Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks took place on Wednesday afternoon, March 14th, here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. It was a mission partnership lunch where my dad, Pastor Kerry Willis, along with Heidi Dove, invited local nonprofits to come to our church. And Pastor Margaret Michael started off sharing about Strength Finders. Then Pastor Tim McElvoy, who's the pastor of New Beginnings Church in Harrisonburg, came and shared what was on his heart.
I'm going to have Pastor Margaret come for just a moment before Tim shares. And we have this opportunity here through Pastor Margaret and Karen Good, who have trained officially in Strength Finders. I don't know if you're familiar with this program. We've taken our whole staff through it here to help us to know, you know, where our strengths are and maybe where we're not quite as strong. And the number one thing it's done for us is to help us to understand one another as a work team. So we've had a couple of full days where we went and we worked through this idea of everyone's strengths and trying to make sure that people are ministering in their strengths. So Pastor Margaret and Karen Good, you take the test online and you get the results. The results come back to Margaret, I believe.
Or Edie.
And Edie's a part of it too.
She's our detail person.
She's the detail person. And so we don't have a dog in this fight. You know, I'm just saying, if you all would like to have one of the future gatherings to have a Strength Finders Day, you can go online and have your people take the test. And I think it's like $25 per person. So we don't charge to do it. But then we could all meet on another day and go over the results of what was there. Now we're getting a little more complicated. It's more than lunch, you know. But Pastor Margaret, tell the benefits or maybe some of the details about the Strength Finder program. And then if there's interest at the end, Heidi will help us schedule a certain day. And we'll get the logistics to you. If it's something you've already done or this doesn't, and you don't have to have a team, you can just come yourself. Like I think Tim McElvoy just did it for himself recently. It helps you to know it validates some things that surprises you in some other areas. But it really does give you, if you answer the questions honestly, it really gives you a beautiful idea about how God made you.
Okay. Well, I learned about strengths back a couple years ago, and I've always been intrigued with personality assessments, Myers-Briggs, DISC, and I thought about getting certified in that because I'm so intrigued with it, and I just never did. So when I learned about strengths, and strengths is an assessment through Gallup. Don Clifton was a psychologist. He was Christian, and Gallup asked him to make this assessment on the strengths that we have as human beings. And Don took that on, and he came up with 34 strengths. Now, that's a lot of talents that have been boiled down into those 34 strengths. And what he came up with, when you do this assessment, you get your top 5 strengths. And the idea is to work from your strengths instead of trying to improve your weaknesses, which will always be lesser strength. You know, we try to call them weaknesses, but lesser strengths. So you work on those top 5. And when I went through this, I was just amazed at realizing why I do some of the things I do and why some people around me do some of the things they do. Recently, and I'll just share a story to kind of give an example, I went to Tennessee and took a ministry, nonprofit, through Strengths. I just did this last week, and I'd had some conversations with some of the folks that work there, and there was some frustration on the team. Now, this team is actually a team that works with folks that have been rescued from sex trafficking, and they had had a pretty tough thing they went through back in December, and I had just messaged the director, and right before all of the stuff in the ministry kind of fell apart, I had messaged her. I said, hey, I would love to come down and take your team through this. And she's like, that's wonderful. She said, I am a facilitator in this as well, but I don't want to take my own team through it. I want to be a part of the team. And I said, okay, I could come and do that. And so Karen and I went. Funny thing, when we sat down in the room to start working through it, she had failed to mention up to then that she actually sat with Don Clifton at the inception of Strengths, and she's been a part of it ever since. That was a little intimidating to have her in the room. But as I looked at that team and the strengths they have, and there's four areas of strengths that you can fall into. Those are executing, your detail people. These people are going to take care of the details. They're going to get it done, whatever your vision is. You have your influencers, and we know what they do. We have to have an influencer on the team. And then you have relationship building and strategic. Those are your vision people. And most people end up with 2 to 3 strengths. My first 3 are influencing. I thought that I was this relationship building person, and I was really a little discouraged when I realized I only had 1 skill in that area. But it makes sense now. Some people look at their top 5 and they go, this isn't me. But after you start talking a little bit, you realize, oh, yeah, this probably is me. So I'll go down to Tennessee and I'm sitting with this group. And I had heard from one of the team that there was just one person on the team that felt like he was always after them. Like he didn't maybe trust that they were doing everything they were supposed to do on their shift. And well, guess what? He had the one that was kind of checking up on other employees, his top strength was responsibility. So he was making sure that everybody was being responsible. And we were going through the strengths, and I said, you know, someone who has the strength of intellection, they think a lot. They have to think before they can answer. So probably they're going to have a hard time in a meeting coming up with the answer, but the day after, they'll have the perfect answer to the question that was asked in that meeting. And it just happened that the director was gone and she has intellection, and the whole team busts out laughing. They said, that's why we get an email every day after a meeting. And she tells us everything we need to know, the things that she would have liked to have said the day before. And so it was just interesting to see the one person that had influencing. She is the one that works with volunteers. And they had like 2 or 3 in executing. The one woman who's in charge of the residential house that actually makes sure that the women are on, you know, doing what they're supposed to do when they're staying there, she has command. You need to have command in that type of a ministry, living with in a house with women that have been rescued and you're trying to get them back in on a good path. And so I could go on and on, but those are just some things. And then I will share this. While I was there last week, I felt like there's a young girl from this area. Her name's Jessie Pugh. I don't know if any of you all know her. She's a singer-songwriter, moved to Nashville, and she's really talented. Well, we just happened to have a friend in Nashville whose name is Kim McLean. She comes here and sings, and I felt like they needed to get together. So I brought them together, and there was this bond that they made. I watched that happen, but they've both taken their strengths. And Jessie, it's just amazing. Her top strength is restorative. And when I was thinking about that, I messaged her today and I said, Jessie, when you write music, do they usually have a theme of restoration in them? And she's like, that's this one song I just wrote. And it, she said, yes, they do. But she has one especially that has a total theme of restoration all through it. And just to help people figure out, and it's not just to sit on your boards, but it helps you at home and wherever you go. And so, like Pastor Carrie said, it's $25. If you would like to do it, to have the assessment, Edie would like to have your email address. Don't give it to me. Just give it to her. She is our executing person around here. I don't have one executing strength. They're probably down about 35 to or 30 to 34. And if there was one on 35, that's what it would be. So you can sign up with her. We could come together as a group here and find a date that works for everyone. If you have a board or a group that, of volunteers that you would like to go through this, we can come to you or you can come to us. There's different things that we could do. But it is a powerful tool. Our staff, like Pastor Perry said, our staff did this, and it has made such a difference in just understanding why we do the things we do, how we can communicate. Sometimes we put barrier labels on people because we don't understand the strength that they have. And what I've been using this for, too, is Karen and I are beginning to take this out into the communities and go to businesses. We just went to Old Dominion Realty and took their staff and some of their top producers through this. And it's biblically based. We share the word. And we are actually going back to do two more with Old Dominion. They're realtors, all one in on it. So we'll do one in Augusta County and one in Harrisonburg. And then just, it's a great way to get out there and bring the word and share with people how God has uniquely created them. It's in our DNA that we've been created with a purpose. And the strengths are just so true. They just rise to the top. So, y'all have any questions?
This would be a separate day. It wouldn't be the partnership luncheon. Because this takes a little more time to go through it. So I think you said it would go from like 10 to
10 to 2, 2:30.
And be a little lunch in there. But we would just bring the group together that wants to do this. So I think we need probably at least 7 or 8 to kind of make it worth the time. So we have 7, let's say. And up to about 20. I don't think you want to go maybe much beyond 20 in the group. So first 20 we get, if we get that many, we'll go ahead and send the information. If there's 22 or 3, I'm sure we can do that. But anyway, no pressure, all pleasure. If you'd like to know more about yourself, if you already know all you want to know about yourself, don't come to this. So I learned that my number one strength is connecting. Yep, I try to do a lot of that. I tried to connect you to me in this luncheon so that we could be better together. My brother Tim's going to come now, and Tim and I have, I think the Lord just brought us together. We can't remember whether he called me for coffee or I called him. He's pretty sure I called him, but I'm pretty sure he called me. So it doesn't even matter. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But we were sitting one day at the Cinnamon Bear sharing a cup of coffee, and Tim was crying and I was crying. And I said, Tim, we got to quit this. Somebody's going to think we're breaking up. It was really close stuff. But anyway, Tim is going to be around. He has a heart for this community. And like Pastor Margaret, who is a Valley girl, he's a Valley boy. You know, he grew up here. And I think that those of you who have grown up here, you have a deeper burden maybe for the immediate folk. And that's why we need you around us. To make sure those of us who are not from here, I consider Harrisonburg my home now. That's a big statement, you know, for me. But it's where, you know, God has had me for 24 years. And I think it'll probably continue to be my home, you know. But I'm still not a native, you know. I came from somewhere else. You can tell by the way I talk. I talk funny, don't I, Nancy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of do, don't I?
I do, too.
I like Nancy.
She does, too. Yeah.
She tells it like it is. I want to see your strength. I think that will be interesting. Yeah. Because you hold your cards close to you, you know, close to your vest. So that would be interesting. But Tim, come and share. I know God's give you a word. And this will be it. When Tim's done, ask him to pray a prayer of benediction. And you can stay and talk or eat again. I'll take some of those cookies with you to the office. And they'll love you.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks, Pastor Margaret. I've taken my assessment. I'm going to be getting my evaluation. So feel free to text me later on and find out how I went. If I'm still living, I'll be glad to give a good, I'm sure it'll be good. Looking forward to it. You know, talking about strengths assessment, I was a member, I was part of a staff, and we took one, and it was based on biblical characters. It's called Three Colors of Ministry. And you took the evaluation, and then after you plotted yourself, and when you got done, you had a wagon wheel. And depending on where your weakness was, you'd have a little hole in the wagon, you know, a little wedge out of it. And I'll have to admit, skewed my results just a little bit. And so when you did your assessment, based on your strengths or your weaknesses, you'd be a biblical character like a Martha, a Peter, an Abraham. And mine came out perfectly round. And it made everybody mad. And I said, I guess I'm just Jesus. You know? they didn't bear witness with that. I'll just tell you that right now. In Acts chapter 9, we have the conversion experience of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, something we're all very familiar with. It's amazing that the greatest persecutor of the church became the greatest proponent of the church after an encounter with Jesus. And one of the things that has always really touched me deeply about the story is when he had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul, the Lord said, "Why are you persecuting me?" You know, Jesus takes it very personally when his church comes under attack, and I believe it's still the case. There was a man named Ananias who lived there in Damascus, and he has a vision from the Lord, and the Lord says, "Hey, get up, I want you to go find this guy named, at the time, Saul, Paul. I want you to pray for him." And of course, Ananias says, "Well, wait a minute now, he's the guy that's been out here killing guys like me." And he says, "No, don't worry about it." He said, "I'm going to show him the things that he must suffer to fulfill my call for his life." And so Ananias says, "Yes." And you know the story. He goes, he prays for him. The Bible says that scales fall off of his eyes, and he begins to see for the first time what the truth is, and makes this dramatic transformation. We've been talking a lot about connectedness today, and that was a supernatural divine appointment. I've prayed in my life for divine appointments. I'm starting to change that a little bit. I read a book recently about Mark Batterson called Whisper. It just came out in the fall. And one of the things that he said in the book was, everyone you meet is a divine encounter. I really hadn't looked at that before. There were some I'd go like, that can't be divine. That's got to be demonic. No, he says, you know, if we really believe that God is guiding our lives, you know, everyone we meet is a divine appointment. And it's made me change my attitude and my perspective a little bit, because I've been guilty of allowing a schedule to dictate my interactions and not taking the time. So I'm trying to be more present. That's one of the words that I've gotten from my time with Carrie, is presence. Practicing the Lord's presence has really helped me a lot. The American Sociological Review tells us this, that 80 million Americans claim to have no personal friends. Not one friend that they can say is a personal close friend. I think the average person has 300 Facebook friends, only two close friends. And there are a lot of reasons for this. The sociologists tell us that people are working more. That's certainly true. Just the demands of making and getting by and all the things that the American dream kind of holds us captive by. And a phenomenon that's associated with that is a lot of people, their friends are also the people they work with because they don't have time for anybody else. And, of course, that could be good or bad. People are moving more often. We're much more transient society than we were a few generations ago, so that contributes to the disconnect. Unfortunately, people are getting divorced, and what the trends are showing as well is that, it's just as prevalent in churches outside the church, but people are splitting up their friends as a midst of that. You know, it's kind of like, okay, these can now be your friends, and these are now my friends, and they can't stay together anymore. And then the whole advent of social media and the online connections really lends itself to an anonymity that I don't think is very helpful or healthful. And as we began to look at to what the Scripture has to say about connectedness and friendship and the people that we encounter and interact with, it's something that we have to work on. And I've come to value it more and more. You know, there's people that I've known for years, but are they really friends? It's just amazing how you can know someone for a long time. You know, Carrie and I've known about each other, known each other for a long time. But in the last year, just there's something that God has done, and I'm really thankful for it. So there may be somebody in your life right now that is not, you know, maybe a close friend now, but don't give up. And maybe God's got another plan in the future. Craig Rochelle wrote a book recently called Divine Direction. And in that, he talks, one of his points is about connectedness and the importance of that. And he uses David as an example of the three kinds of friends that we need. And I think it's appropriate for all of us as individuals. And also think about our ministries too. The first friend you need is someone who's going to be there for you and speak words of encouragement into you and believe in you and don't believe in yourself. And for David, that was a Samuel. Samuel comes to Jesse's house looking for a king. As we all would do, he brings down the list of his sons, Eliab and Aminadab and Shema and all those. And God has to speak to Samuel's heart. And he says in 1 Samuel 16:7, he says, "You're looking on the exterior, but I'm looking at the heart." and eventually find out that David was the one that God had ordained to be this king, one that everyone else had discounted. So it took Samuel to see that through the eyes of God and to see that David was the one who had the true gift of leadership, the one who was going to be used by God to deliver the people from the Philistines and all the other things that God had for him to do. The second kind of friend is that you need the friend that's going to strengthen you when you're in difficult times. All of us, when we came to Christ, we probably bought the bill of goods and said, man, I give my life to Jesus and everything else will just be perfect. And that's kind of when all heck breaks loose, doesn't it? Because there's a big target on your life and the enemy wants to do everything he can to thwart God's plan in your life. And so you need people that are going to be there in those low times and those difficult times. And for David, that was a Jonathan. It's recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 23 that when David's on the run from Saul, he is very discouraged, that Jonathan is one who came and helped him find his strength in the Lord. And there have been many times in my life where God has done that for me and sent those special individuals into my life to encourage me, to help me see a perspective that is lost. I mean, I'm walking oblivious to it all. I'm so in the dumps that I can't see out. And Carrie and I have been reading together through Oswald Chambers, a book called Devotions for a Deeper Life. It's different than My Utmost, and it's just a whole kind of treatise on holiness. And one of the things he said recently is you only see the stars when it's the darkest. And that's what a good friend helps us to do, to see that perspective. And then the last kind of friend is the friend we need to tell us the truth even when we don't want to hear it. And you know where I'm going with that. You know, that was Nathan. Nathan was the court prophet. And after David's tryst with Bathsheba and presumably thinking he had gotten away with it. Now, we read Psalm 51, which was written in the aftermath of all that. And we know David was a deeply sorrowful man. You know, I think even before the exposure came, I'm sure there was something that was going on. You know, there's a scripture in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, that talks about David. And I think it's unique of all the people of the Old Testament. And it says that the Holy Spirit rushed upon him and was on him from that day forth. So I think David's a little bit different. I think that's why Jesus is in the lineage of David. You know, there's a connection there that goes with that. And the fact that the Spirit was working in his life throughout all of his life, rather than coming on at particular times. And Nathan shows up one day and shares the story of the sheep owner who had many sheep and the one who had just one and how it was stolen from him. And David becomes incensed and says, you know, that man should die. And Nathan says some very powerful words, you are that man. And David instantly repents. It costs him something, even though he was forgiven. The consequences were something that were completely mitigated by all of it. So the whole idea of connectedness and friendship is something that I know the Lord has been speaking to me a lot. You know, I've always valued it, but as I'm growing older, I think I value it even more. My friend Steve Wingfield says that, you know, at his funeral, he wants to make sure there are at least 12 people there not looking at the watches, you know. And there's a lot of value in that. The sociologists also tell us that we're the average of our friends, of your five friends, you know, spiritually, morally, even financially. And I try to surround myself with people that are smarter than I am, more gifted than I am, more spiritually attuned than I am. And so that's why I'm enjoying hanging out with Pastor Kerry, because he's all those things. Charles Tremendous Jones, he was a motivational speaker, said this. He said, you'll be the same person that you are 5 years from now, except for the books that you read and the people that you meet. And I've just come to a place in my life where I'm really valuing my connections and my friendships. And I look at the synergy that's happening in a group like this. And, you know, the pastors that we're meeting with, we've had pastors meetings on and off for years, but it feels different this time. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know what the outcome is going to be of it, but it feels different. It feels like the Lord's at work and he's doing something and I don't want to miss him. And it's such a privilege to be a partner with all of you in this community and to see and hear the works that you're doing. And realize that God's got a great plan for us, and it's such a beautiful sight to see us coming together and supporting one another and praying for one another, and realize we're all on the same team. I know when we have our banquets, we're all competing for that same dollar, but you know the Lord's a big God, and He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and if He's got to slaughter a few to take care of us all, He'll do it. And so it's good to see that connectedness there that the Lord has given us. So I just want to encourage all of us that as the Lord is forming something here, we continue to let him have his work. And, you know, a year or two from now, maybe we'll have a better picture of what it's all about. But as we remain in faith and keep pressing forward, I think we'll be pretty amazed at what will happen here. And I think it could even be a model for other communities that the Lord may use to inspire others. And there's a lot of division in our world, isn't there? A lot of division in our nation and all around the world. I think we have an opportunity here because of the relationship that's been developed here for a long, long time. It just feels like God's doing something. And so it's a privilege to be a part of it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Can I bless you today?
I want you to fill your information out on one of these.
Yes.
And I've invited Tim to join us from now on. So maybe eventually we can connect the pastor's group with this group and what synergy that might be. So be praying in that way. And if you would just fill one of these cards, I'll make sure Heidi gets it.
All right, I'll do it.
So you'll know when everything is
coming, thank you.
Coming to be. And we'd like for you to join us kind of like as our community liaison.
Well, we'll make sure the pastors don't ruin this
our
thing.
Our church liaison. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly right. We'll be the stopgap there.
We'll let the good ones in.
I just want to say how much Nancy and I were just talking about this on the way over, how much we've appreciated this setting.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Carey, particularly for your vision for it and your intentionality with it, that it wasn't just a, you know, let's do this and make everybody feel good and then it'll never happen again, which, you know, things like that happen often. But I feel like, at least for AvaCare, we do feel appreciated and recognized. But Nancy made the comment, I appreciate how much Pastor Carey enjoys caring for people.
Yes.
And so for us, we're so grateful. And for all of you ladies that helped make it possible, too, for the vision and the intentionality and commitment to it. And it was great just to see you again as a, you know, it wasn't just you came one time to share a devotion last time, but to see you back and to know that you'll be here and are committed to it, too. I just want to express our thanks for, you know, it is tough in the ministry we're in particular, and I know for many others. So to have a place that we feel cared for and can be encouraged and just step away once a quarter has been something we really treasure. So thank you.
We know you're front line, and
sometimes
the local church is, but not always. But we started Celebrate Recovery, you know, here. And it's the closest I've ever felt as a pastor to the lost and the broken. And so that may be the closest thing we've done yet to what you all do every day. You deal with people in desperate, dire straits.
Yeah.
And so I think that we're going to learn together. Now, somewhere at the end, not at the end, but somewhere along the journey, we ought to like have a retreat at the beach together or something.
Hey, yeah, I got a witness.
So,
yeah.
I think it inspires people to hear that we're doing this together.
Yeah, amen.
And I know the Lord put the mandate on me. It wasn't an option, but it was joyful. It was a glorious burden, you know. So thank you all. And like we said, there's a lot to be done, but we want to be encouragers and help each of you as best we can. And certainly we remember you in prayer. But thanks, Nancy. You're precious. Saying all this nice things. When I see her five things,
good.
I told them they make a great team. I enjoy getting to see the teams.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and I've known a lot of you from past kind of things, you know. But to see you in the ministry together, I told them that John and James were like the sons of thunder. When I see them, I think of the daughters of thunder. I almost feel sorry for the devil.
Yeah.
But not quite.
No, not quite.
But we have lots of fun.
It makes me excited for the Lord's work, you know. And like even yesterday at the pastor's prayer meeting, a few of the pastors got a little down in the mouth how that, you know, the community, we're losing the community and all that stuff. I said, well, I got some good reports.
Yeah.
And they were really your stories. And us coming together, they were encouraged when we left. So y'all were prayed for yesterday in the prayer group.
Amen. Thank you. Good word. One final thought. You know, as Paul was converted, he immediately began ministering there in Damascus. And, of course, caused quite a ruckus and had to get out of town. They let him out of town, and he had to run off to Jerusalem. Well, Jerusalem wasn't a good place for him either because they had heard about what he was doing. And the disciples were wary of him. And Barnabas shows up. You know, Barnabas always shows up at the right time, doesn't he? And he brought him before the disciples. And they knew because Barnabas vouched for him that Paul was okay. You know, and that's one of the powers of relationship and connectedness. We get to vouch for each other, and you know, there may be a ministry or a something that's happening, and you're like, "Well, Pastor Kerry is for it. Hey, I'm in for it." So there's something really to be said for that.
And that wagon wheel thing, you were Jesus, but I was Barnabas. What's wrong with that?
That's all good, yeah.
I remember something about this wagon wheel thing back in college.
Because you were honest in your evaluation. Okay, that's right. Yeah.
Because I was good at defending scoundrels.
Okay. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you. What a pleasure it is when brethren dwell together in unity. And it's something that incredible that happens. And God, you've called us to this city and to this region, to this valley for such a time as this. And we want to be faithful to that call. We rejoice in the good word that we're hearing today. And our prayers go out in agreement for the various ministries here that are going to be having significant events coming up, with groundbreakings and banquets and events that are going to help promote their calls in the community. And I pray there'll be a great outpouring of support. Financially and of manpower,
yes, Jesus, yes.
God, and that they would never suffer for lack, that the reason that they couldn't do what they're called to do is because the resources weren't there, Lord. So encourage them, bless them. Thank you that as we come together, there's something that you are doing to draw us together. May we, Lord, be faithful to hear your voice in it and to follow your way. And as we go on our ways, Lord, we thank you that you go and prepare the way before us until you bring us back together again. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.